would do, repeal Obamacare and replace it with something better.
Negotiators continue working behind closed doors, hoping to come up with a new plan that can pass. But so far, they're a long way from a final deal.
Still, House Speaker Paul Ryan's upbeat about the progress that's been made as conservatives and moderates move closer to a compromise.
We have come together on a new amendment that we all believe will lower premiums and provide added protections for those facing real challenges gaining access to affordable care.
The Senate has cleared the way for a confirmation vote tomorrow on Supreme Court nominee Judge Neil Gorsuch. A Senate rules change by Republicans derailed a Democratic filibuster. Chinese President Xi Jinping has arrived in Florida for talks with President Trump at Mr. Trump's Florida estate. It's their first face-to-face meeting.
The Trump administration remains dedicated to working with China toward mutual goals of respect, security, and prosperity.
Secretary of State Tillerson speaking moments ago. Parts of the South may not be out of the woods yet when it comes to severe weather. Victoria Sykes lives in Eminence, Kentucky, telling WLKY-TV things got kind of rough last night.
I looked up, and the roof is starting to peel off. The house is shaking.
Severe weather damage also reported in parts of South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee. Comedian Don Rickles has died. He was 90. On Wall Street, the Dow up 10 points, the NASDAQ trading 2 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Now, a 1030 KVOI news update provided by KVOA News 4.
Good afternoon at 12:02. I'm Ed Alexander on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. Tucson News Now reports the State Board of Regents will vote today to increase tuition and fees at the University of Arizona. Right now, about 93% are locked into their tuition, but for the ones who didn't opt into that part of the program and for new students in the fall, there will be a 1% increase. If approved, tuition at the U of A will be $12,228 for undergrads, $35,658 for out-of-state residents. Some of the fee increases include $55 more for information technology libraries, $125 more for health and recreation fees, a $70 increase for student services. Student housing will go up by $190 a year, and there'll be a new fee to support athletics programs, facilities, and improvement. $100 for incoming undergrads and $50 for incoming graduate students. The University of Arizona estimates it'll collect an additional $161 million with these increases. U of A head coach Sean Miller announced yesterday freshman Kobe Simmons is leaving for the NBA draft. And Scout.com says sophomore forward Chance Comanche put his name into the 2017 NBA draft. And Tuesday was a deadline for contractors to bid on building a border wall between the U.S. and Mexico. 42 of the contractors are in Arizona, including 7 from Tucson and 1 from Marana. Tucson weather. Spring fling ahead and sunny and 90 today and tomorrow. Windy and 88 Saturday. Sunny and 78 on Sunday. It's Buckmaster next on AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's intelligent voice.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. My friend Ray Allen, who is normally my engineer producer Monday through Thursday, tough life. Ray's down in the Bahamas. At a wedding. That's pretty cool. But Tom Fairbanks is with me. Tom is normally here on Friday, but just looking at him on the other side of the glass makes me feel good and makes me feel like it's a Friday. Tom, how are you today?
We'll have two Fridays together.
You'll be back tomorrow. That's
yes,
right.
Sir.
We will see you tomorrow. Anyway, Tom, it's good to see you looking so well, too, because I know you were really down with all the allergies, and you're not alone in that regard. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's a Thursday, April the 6th, 2017. Hope the week has gone pretty darn well for you. We're coming from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and we also have our worldwide live listening People who can listen to the program anywhere there's a computer by going to my website, buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com. We also make it very easy for you. We put up all of our podcasts thanks to my wonderful assistant, Rosemary Brandt. We usually get those up within a couple of hours of the conclusion of the program, and we've got some real history there. We've got 6 years of programs archives, so we're building up quite a library of Tucson and Pima County history here on the Buckmaster Show. If there's any time during the hour you would like to join us, it is a talk show, and we welcome your calls, 790-2040. My in-studio guest today, we welcome Pima County Supervisor Democrat from District Number 5, Richard Elias. Supervisor Elias, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill, and it's always a pleasure to be here on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you very much. I'm a little confused about this whole dust-up that's going around with Pima Animal Care Center and its partnership with Marana and Saharita. We had Mayor Honing on the show, and he was saying that he did not feel that the Pima County was delivering services. He has people who had said they never see any of the Pima Animal Care vehicles up there. What is the situation? Can you clarify this for us?
Well, you know, we work really hard at providing good animal care services to the public, and towards that end, we've really changed the way we do business. We really changed it starting in 2008, and we've become much more effective, and our live release rate was 49% back in those days, and that has improved dramatically. And today that number is 90%.
That is a huge success story.
But there's costs attached to that. And so the cost of the animal care has gone up. Voters approved bonding to build a new facility there. We're going to go ahead and move forward and do that. It's regrettable that Marana and now Saharita is also contemplating removing themselves from animal care services offered by the county. But really, they make up a very small part of the budget that we were planning on for animal care. But I'm not really so concerned about that. I'm concerned about our animals, and I'm concerned about people who loved animals and how they're going to be able to replace those services in Marana.
Yeah, how are the residents of Marana and Saharita, right, who really maybe they voted for the new facility, which is going to be one of the best facilities in the United States, state-of-the-art facility. How do those people fit into the equation?
Well, that's a very good question, and I'm afraid they're being left out of the equation right now. And they need to be included, and their voices need to be heard at those governing boards that serve those communities. Because we all love our animals, and we've now realized what an important part of our overall health animals play, a very important role to us all. So that's one perspective. I think the money perspective is important too, but also a larger political question that we have to face about regional services and how best to provide those services to people efficiently and correctly. And if we're going to kind of pick and choose what we do with that, well, okay, but it may not be the best thing to serve the taxpayers. It may not provide the quality of services that people are used to. It may not provide a really equitable distribution of those services throughout Southern Arizona. That's a problem.
790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Supervisor Elias, he would be happy to entertain that right now. So what I'm hearing from you is it is a concern when you start having jurisdictions, Supervisor, start to cherry pick.
Well, it's a concern to me because we need to know if we're providing good services. We need to provide services that people need and provide them in an efficient manner. But if we're just opting out because we want to create our own island of turf that we control, then maybe that doesn't serve people very well. And it's been my observation that we've done pretty good with animal care, and our animal care officers are good and efficient and do respond. I know I face a lot of problems in some of the less affluent areas of District 5 where people have dogs to help protect their property. And that can be a very difficult issue when you have that mixture of of large families and animals that are there that are very sensitive to protecting the area that they live in. I see quick response from animal care. I see people who are very caring about that issue, participating in it. And those folks who don't take care of their animals are treated in a just manner. Mm-hmm. They need to clean up their act. And generally they do. I think that that's the best way to do that. We are not euthanizing all the animals that we used to euthanize. That's a good thing. It was a meat grinder over there at Animal Care. And I apologize for using that language because I think it's a little vivid for some people to contemplate. But that's how horrible it was. And that's how much we've improved. That's how much
in a relatively short time, the thinking over
time.
There, the whole culture has changed, and people have really stepped up to the plate. And obviously, this community believes in Pima County and the animal care facility because, I mean, that bond issue passed something like, I don't remember the exact, what was it 60-something to 39 or something.
No, it passed by a huge margin. Yeah, it was more than 20 points.
Oh, that was, yes. Let's go to the live line. Our friend Jim is on the line. Hey, Jim Kelly, how are you?
I am well. Hi, Supervisor Elias. Hey, one of the things about the Pima Animal Care people, how many times are they out there actively investigating dog fighting and cock fighting and doing something about it?
Our animal care officers respond to every call that we receive at the animal care center. And, of course, that type of activity, Jim, is really frowned upon. And not only is it investigated by the animal care officers, but also by the sheriff's department as well.
All right. We're going to take our break right here. We're going to take a break. And then when we come back, Pima County, it is budget time. They've set up quite an extensive public hearing process for the upcoming fiscal budget, which begins July 1st, coming right up. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, We are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, the exit interview for Mike Varney, head of the Tucson Metro Chamber. Our Friday roundtable features Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, and Dylan Smith, editor of TucsonSentinel.com. Plus, Weekend Watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KBOI, Tucson's Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show at exactly 12:17 on a Thursday afternoon. Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias is here from District Number 5. He is a Democrat, and we did have a call during the break, Supervisor Elias. A caller wondered what your opinion is on the job that Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry is doing. The caller wanted you to give him a grade.
Well, I'd give Chuck an A. I don't agree with everything that Mr. Huckleberry proposes or puts in front of the Board of Supervisors, but I find his work to be very high quality. He deeply cares about our community and understands it in a very profound, real way. And I think that makes a big difference. Do we have policy differences? I think we all do. But that's the kind of tension that's important to have between administrators and elected officials. And perhaps the most important thing is that Chuck understands that the Board of Supervisors sets policy and he goes about implementing it. Is he a strong-willed character? He absolutely is. But he usually has the metrics and intelligence in place to explain his position carefully to whoever is willing to listen.
All right. And one of the things Mr. Huckleberry is working on right now is the 2018 fiscal year budget. That budget begins, of course, on the new fiscal year, which is, believe it or not, very close.
It's coming right up.
We are here in April, and that means that May is going to be budget hearing time. And this process will involve department heads going before you and your colleagues.
That's correct.
And these department heads will be most likely laying out their money picture. Usually they ask for more money.
Well, typically departments that ask for more money are required to submit a supplemental budget request.
Okay.
And they are allowed during those budget hearings to talk about what those supplemental budget requests include and why they're asking for that and what is the importance of having that. Those hearings will be taking place on the 2nd, the 9th, the 16th, and 17th, all of May.
And how does the budget picture look?
Well, I think it's going to be a pretty fair budget year for us right now. We took care of some difficult business last year in reducing the amount of property tax rate that we had. And I think that has served our community well. I think it's going to continue to serve us well into this next year. However, We do need to pay careful attention to what's happening in Washington to see what their budget discussions are going to look like, especially in April and May. It appears from what most people say is that we're heading into another continuing resolution at the federal level, which would probably be okay for us because that means most of the money that comes into the county attorney's office, the sheriff's office, public health, and community services will all be pretty static. But we need to be very careful about that because that deeply impacts our most vulnerable folks and, of course, the public safety of our community. So those are absolutely critical to us. Tentative adoption is scheduled for May 23rd, and then final budget adoption is scheduled for June 20th.
The border tariff resolution came before the board. That was a 3-2 vote, pretty much was along party lines. What was the crux of that resolution?
Well, the crux of this resolution is really to protect Southern Arizona's relationship with Mexico. They are our absolute number one trading partner. And in fact, Arizona's exports to Mexico in 2015 were valued at $9.2 billion. And we enjoyed a net trade surplus last year with them of $870 million. This is critical to our overall economic success in Southern Arizona especially, but throughout Arizona as well. This was a resolution that was put together to counter some of the negative implications and the chilling effect that the president's discussion about a border wall and associated tariffs related to Mexico paying for that wall that are going to damage us and frankly have already started to damage Arizona's business. And so we wanted to do something to make sure that we countered that and that we continue to talk about the really powerful, strong history of business connections and trade that has existed in Arizona for so long with the nation of Mexico and with the state of Sonora. Absolutely critical to all of us along those same lines. The four counties that border Mexico in Arizona have started the Arizona Borders County Coalition. And their primary mission is protecting economic development in the four border counties, Pima, Cochise, Santa Cruz, and Yuma. I think it makes sense. There's members of the county supervisors assigned to that committee. Sharon Bronson is our representative, and I'm the alternate on that coalition. I think we can expect to see us work very hard in tandem with people who are very nervous about losing business, taking jobs away from people and their families, and finding ourselves with a lack of services and goods coming across the border.
790-2040, if you would like to speak with Supervisor Elias. I don't think there's any statistics yet on that. We are 3 months into the year, three full months already have passed, about whether or not the whole talk about a border wall has had an impact on the shoppers who have been flocking over the years to our shopping centers.
Right, but anecdotal discussions that I've had with folks is that there simply aren't as many shoppers coming over here from Mexico because they're frustrated and they're nervous. And that's really bad. We need to make sure we protect the business interests that we have. Certainly we've learned that, you know, in the 2000s, there seemed to be this real harsh rhetoric related to immigration and immigrants in the state of Arizona. And what we found was that it destroyed business opportunities for the state of Arizona. And when we started responding to that and businesses started speaking up, guess what? There was a big positive change in the way we behaved. And I think that bears a good example for all of us to follow. And understand that we have to be proactive and make sure that we don't lose business and see it never come back again. Because this kind of rhetoric that's going on right now about the border will pass as well. And this country will survive it, and Mexico will survive it. And guess what? We're still going to be neighbors, and we're still going to be friends. And there's a lot of people who have their roots in Mexico that live here in Southern Arizona, like my family. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be protected and respected as well, because we get frustrated, too.
And your family in this town goes back to the Presidio days.
My first relative here was in September 1776.
Yeah, so, I mean, the story is that this is a bicultural area, to say the least, right?
Absolutely. I think we're bicultural, and it serves us very well. I think that's why we've been recognized worldwide by UNESCO for the food that we serve and create here in Southern Arizona, because it's a hybrid of Sonoran-style Mexican food. And it's combined with the many great things that we have here in the United States. And guess what? It's a gastronomical experience, you know?
There are certainly some great places to eat here in Southern Arizona. So there have been, you know, we've got some great jobs. I know your area on the south side's been doing well. There's a lot of jobs coming in. A lot of that is in the city, I think, in Councilman Fimbres' district, mm-hmm. but it certainly affects your area as well.
Absolutely. The opportunities in Ward 5 have created opportunities throughout the 6th Avenue corridor, throughout the 12th Avenue corridor, and all along Valencia and Irvington that are becoming increasingly important business districts for all of us. And I think it's important for us to recognize that and go down and participate in that and do some shopping down there and eat some food, go for some entertainment down there. The South Side is a safe place. It's a good place. And as families find more success and being able to hold jobs and their kids do, I think it's just healthier for our region, and it makes us all a much better, much more diverse community. So we've been lucky in that regard. We need to keep that rolling. That's part of what Pima County's economic development efforts are about, and the city of Tucson as well, the city of South Tucson. And I think that the municipalities that we have along the corridor of I-19 are becoming more critical to us too. Sahuarita, Green Valley are vital to the success of folks there on the south side. And I understand that the hospital down there on the 19 is having some difficulties. Mm-hmm. We've got to figure out a way to correct that, because we need to protect the health of all those people and all those visitors who come down there. That's a critical, difficult issue for all of us to deal with, kind of like the issue the board faced on Tuesday with the Mount Lemmon Fire District. We have so many visitors up there, but we can't really generate enough money in that fire district to take care of business. We have to recognize that part of creating a solid economy is dealing with the tourists that come here and the cost that they create, because they pay sales tax, mm-hmm. and virtually get no services in return for that. Of course, the county doesn't have any sales taxes, but we have to look at the overall picture and not be so myopic about how we look at economics. Those are the kind of things that are critical to us. That's why we're starting to have some success on the south side. That's why we want to see it continue in a strong way.
The Mount Lemmon Fire District will be getting some help then, basically?
We agreed to help them for another 4 years, but we let them know that they need to start a study so that they have some answers for us in 2 years about how they can create a sustainable budget for themselves and be able to provide the protections they do. I've been going up to Mount Lemmon for more than 50 years. Mm-hmm. And since Mount Lemmon Fire District has been there, the quality of emergency services has gone up dramatically. We should not ignore that. We should not go back to the old days of pay your own way or transport your own person. That's just bad for us. That does not create a safe environment there on the mountain. And like I said, there's so many visitors who go up there. We want to make sure that they feel good and comfortable and safe while they're up there, and that they spend a few bucks buying a piece of pie or a nice piece of pizza up there at that pizza place. I don't know. I have a partial thing for that fudge at the country store, but I'm not supposed to talk about that because sugar's not all that good for me. But anyways, you know, we all have our things. So
we do.
We're working on Mount Lemmon Fire District and trying to be as supportive as we possibly can with them.
I'm drooling for a piece of coconut cream pie right
now.
Oh,
you had to say that, Bill.
Richard Elias, thank you very much, sir. Thanks for coming into the program.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show, Bill. And when's your 7th anniversary?
Let's see. We're in year 7, so we've got 6 years under our belt. So the 7-year anniversary for the show will be next first week in January. But there's other anniversaries, right?
Coming in the up meantime, for me. Yeah. Absolutely. The ones that count at
that's
home,
right.
That's for
like
sure.
The big wedding anniversary coming up, and on it goes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
Be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Coming up Memorial Day weekend, the 22nd Annual Silver City Blues Festival. featuring from Memphis, Tennessee, the Ghost Town Blues Band, the headliners this year. Strongly suggest this event. It's a great outing for you. 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. Their website has the full listing, not only about the Blues Festival coming up, but a couple of dozen great recreation opportunities and some great places to stay in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's time for our monthly segment on the Buckmaster Show, talking about your medication and how to take control of your health care. If you'd like to join us at 790-2040, we'd welcome your call. It's our Your Med segment featuring Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the former UA College of Medicine Dean, founder, and now President Emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, known as CPATH. Dr. Woosley's latest creation is CredibleMeds.org, which is now one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. Visit CredibleMeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Good to be here.
You know, one of the things about living in the desert, it's a great place, and we have so many newcomers who come here, and I have a friend who I used to work with up in the San Francisco Bay Area who has just decided that he's going to relocate here in Oro Valley or maybe down in Tubac. But the point is that the newcomers are especially vulnerable to something that we have here called Valley Fever.
Yeah, our own special little illness.
It is. And, you know, Valley Fever, we have a lot of dust here. We live in a desert.
Yeah.
And Valley Fever is pretty much you got to have the dust component, correct?
Right. It's a fungus. It's in the soil, and it's in Arizona, parts of Texas, and parts of California. So it's a Southwest thing. But, you know, 80% of the illness is here between Tucson and Phoenix. So we're right in the heart of the target of this thing. And it's a troublesome illness. You know, every part of the world has its own unique problems. I grew up in the South, so we had histoplasmosis, and it's a fungus like coccidiomycosis, our fungus, which we call Valley Fever. So it's a fungus, and it's in the soil, and it blows when the dust gets kicked up, and we breathe it in, and it starts growing. And some of us, most of us, actually control it and have minimal symptoms. We may think we just caught a cold for a while, but many people, thousands actually, will have a very serious illness, and about 150 people die every year.
Mm. Can it be mistaken for allergies?
It can. Well, maybe not so much allergies. It's really
sneezing
mistaken.
And
yeah,
feeling.
It could be, but it's more often when people are told they have pneumonia.
Oh.
That's when they think they've got a pneumonia, and they're coughing, and they've got a little spot on their x-ray. And the doctors prescribe very expensive antibiotics, and about a third of those patients actually have Valley Fever.
Mm.
And they end up not getting treated for a couple of months, which makes it even worse.
And is there a simple test for the Valley Fever?
Well, there is a blood test.
A blood test.
It's not perfect, but it is a test, and it's something that, you know, doctors need to think about. You know, one of the things I hadn't thought about, we're very fortunate. We have the Valley Fever Center of Excellence at
UVA. That's Dr. Galgiani's.
Exactly.
Great work that he does. John Galgiani.
He's been doing this forever and doing it
better. Dedicated guy to the subject, yeah.
He pointed out to me that every year in Arizona, we get 1,000 new doctors. And 80% of those didn't grow up and get trained here. So they have never seen Valley Fever.
Right.
So I wanted to, you know, usually on your show we talk about medicines.
Right.
We usually don't talk about illnesses.
No.
But this one's one I think the public needs to say, hey, I need to, if I'm going to the doctor and I'm sick, I think I got the flu and I've got these symptoms of that may be flu, I need to remind my doctor, who may or may not be familiar with Valley Fever, that should I be tested? Because it can make a big difference.
And what would the treatment be if you do come up positive for Valley Fever?
Well, unfortunately, it's a very expensive, like all medicines now, but especially it's a generic drug, an antifungal drug, usually ketoconazole or fluconazole. And it can cost up to $5,000 a month to be treated, and it takes several months for you to control this. These drugs don't kill the fungus. They just stop its growth so your body can get caught up and control it.
And, you know, we hear about pets, horses get valley fever, and we've heard these horror stories about people that it just pretty much bankrupts them for the medicine, for the cost for the pet.
Exactly. Every dog on our street has got valley fever, and two of ours have had it, and it costs several thousand dollars in medicines to control it for those poor pets. And, of course, we love our animals, so we paid for it. But it's a big burden. About $500 million a year costs for Arizona for caring for people and for the complications of valley fever.
So we're dealing with what would be antifungal drugs?
Exactly. Antifungal drugs, because, you know, there's two general classes. There's the bacteria, which will give you bacterial pneumonia, and that's what 75% of people who have pneumonia have. But a third of them actually have this fungal infection. So they need an antifungal drug, not a very expensive antibiotic, but a very expensive antifungal drug.
So you wonder how many people who present with their doctor with the symptoms that could be valley fever, the doctor may not be familiar to think about saying, well, maybe this is valley fever, maybe you should be tested for it. So the patient is then prescribed an antibiotic, which isn't going to do any good for the valley fever, and they're putting an antibiotic in their system, which probably, well, they don't need then if it's not valley fever.
They don't need it. It will not do a thing for that fungus. It will cost a lot of money, and it has side effects. A lot of people get terrible diarrhea and complications from the antibiotic. So, and the biggest problem is a third of the people, it will delay their diagnosis of valley fever. And that 2 months sometimes while they're being treated for with antibiotic after antibiotic, they could be getting treated for their fungal infection and get back to work. Many people lose 6 to 8 weeks of work with this illness.
And stay away from dust if possible.
Right. I think that's the secret out here, as much as you can. Stay out of the dust. If you're new to the area, especially watch out for this. And there's certain populations that are at high risk. The African American, Asian populations, pregnant women are very much at high risk. People who are taking certain arthritis medicines like Remicade. These are newer arthritis medicines that cause your immune system to be weakened.
Like for rheumatoid?
Rheumatoid arthritis. That's right. The treatment for that. So
is valley fever contagious?
That's a very good question, Bill. Yeah. It's not.
Okay.
It is not passed from one person to another. But it's only caught by breathing in the spores that are in the dust.
Wow. You know, and this is, of course, we're concluding the flu season. Hopefully, I don't know if this has been, I guess here in Arizona, it's been considered kind of a mild to moderate season, hasn't it?
It has. I think the vaccines that we had this year really did a bang-up job, and remind everybody every year, get that vaccine, because the reason we had a mild season is because we had the right vaccination and people took it.
All right, Dr. Ray Woosley, thank you very much. Always good to see you.
You too, Bill. Great to be here.
We want to tell our listeners about Green Things. Green Things is such a, well, they do such a beautiful job over there. Jan and Jack, the owners at Green Things, now have expanded to 13 acres, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. They have the full listing on the website of their workshops. Actually, they've got one tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Edible things from the desert, Dr. Woosley. There are some things
I'm gonna drop by there.
There are some things that are tasty that come from the jellies. Some of the prickly pear
jellies
are
great.
Wonderful.
And some of the mesquite bean bread.
Yes, the grains for the mesquite bread.
Yeah.
One more thing, I do want to go back to Dr. Woosley and remind people about Credible Meds and the website, very easy to use, and I want to give out the website again. So it's crediblemeds.org.
That's right, and we've got a new iPhone app, so download and it's free.
Okay.
You can access our information on your iPhone, Android, or mobile.
And it's pretty much every imaginable prescription that somebody could be issued.
That's right. There are about 3,000 drugs.
3,000.
And we have information about the ones that are really dangerous for your heart and have side effects that could take your life. So it's rare, thankfully, but we encourage everybody to be your best advocate for good health. Take care of yourself and be informed.
And that includes if you're going to the doctor and you think you're have kind of valley fever symptoms, bring it up to the doctor if he or she hasn't done that.
That's right. If you've got flu-like symptoms, a fever, a cough, aching joints, I mean, it sounds just like the flu. It could well be valley fever.
All right. Dr. Woosley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. We'll be right back. Attorney Don Luce is in the house. We'll be talking with Mr. Luce, our legal contributor, right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. About 10 minutes now toward 1 o'clock on a very pretty Thursday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. I am joined now, it's always my pleasure to welcome Attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Hobkirk Associates, Attorneys at Law. Luce Brown, Hobkirk have three offices, two in Phoenix, one on River Road here in Tucson, a beautiful office over there on River. Mr. Luce is one of two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. He is our legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, now in its second printing, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. And I will add there a personal note, what everybody needs to know about their future plans in estate. Mr. Luce, how are you?
I'm great, Bill, thank you very much.
You know, one of the things at the legislature, and there's never a shortage of items to talk about when the session is underway with you, is this Good Samaritan bill up in Phoenix at the Capitol. I was under the impression that there's a Good Samaritan bill already, and it's referenced in your book, Arizona Laws 101.
True. So the proposal that is currently before the legislature deals specifically with situations where a child or an animal is in a car, an unattended vehicle, and the person who becomes the Good Samaritan feels the need to break the window to rescue the child or the animal. Currently, there is no law that allows a person to do that without facing potential civil liability for the damage that they caused to the vehicle. Senator John Kavanaugh, who's out of Fountain Hills, has pushed for legislation to change the current law so that if a person sees a child or an animal in a car and feels that that child or animal is in danger, then they are allowed, after they notify the authorities, to break the window to gain access to that vehicle and to rescue the child or animal, and they would not face civil liability for the damage that was caused in doing that.
And currently, the law says what?
Currently, the law says they have to wait until a first responder appears on the scene before any action can be taken. So essentially, it says if you break the window into an unoccupied or an unattended vehicle with a child or an animal inside, you could potentially be liable for the property damage that results from your entry into the vehicle.
Well, that time is the huge factor there.
It really is. And we have other Good Samaritan laws in Arizona. They just don't deal with this particular situation. One of these Good Samaritan laws that are currently on the books allows a healthcare provider to render first aid or emergency care on an emergency basis at a public gathering and would not be liable for ordinary negligence in the course of rendering that type of assistance. We have another Good Samaritan law that allows a person who makes a good faith donation of a food item or a non-food grocery product to a charitable or nonprofit to escape liability for damage for injury or death due to the condition of the donated food item if it was done in good faith. So this concept of Good Samaritan is not new to us, but it doesn't currently exist for someone who wants to extricate a child or an animal from a parked vehicle.
I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. It's just a personal opinion that if you see a child or an animal in obvious distress, you really want to act.
And I hope the legislature can clarify this.
Well, it's interesting that you should bring that up, because this House bill, which is number 2494, is actually a successor to a Senate bill 1001, which had been approved a couple of months ago but had died. There is controversy in the legislature about whether we ought to have a Good Samaritan bill with regard to vehicles containing animals or children that are otherwise unattended. And Eddie Farnsworth, who is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, has essentially, at least on one occasion, killed the bill at committee level. The House has basically appended the same provisions onto another bill, HB 2494, which is going to ensure that it comes up for a vote, and then it'll be back at the Senate. And as you said, I agree with you. I can't think of a really good argument to oppose this type of legislation.
Right,
it seems like it makes good sense, mm-hmm. and that it serves the public good.
All right, let's go to the live line. Ingrid would like to weigh in on this. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Well, this has to do with more with wondering if a child is really in distress, not so much as if there's somebody looking at the car from a short distance away. That can be an issue. But in particular, when you're wondering if a child is in distress, it could be a sleeping child who just has a ruddy complexion. If you feel the window and it's relatively cool, it probably means the child is just sleeping and not to worry.
Okay.
Well, Ingrid, what I would say in response to that is the proposed legislation does require that the Good Samaritan act in good faith. And so if there's a question about whether the child or the animal was actually in peril, a determination would have to be made as to the circumstances surrounding which the Good Samaritan caused damage to the vehicle. But I would submit to you that every year there are hundreds of cases statewide where, unfortunately, animals and children have been left in unattended vehicles and they have suffered injury and, in some extreme cases, death. So there is a factual basis to sort of support the notion that if you run across a parked car and you think in good faith that the animal or the child inside the car is in peril, after you contact the emergency 911 operator, under this proposal, you could then extricate the animal or child from the vehicle without liability.
All right, Don Luce, we're just about out of time, but I do want to mention there is a bill about the ban on texting by new teen drivers. Looks like this one may be in trouble.
Well, yes. Arizona has for years been reluctant to enact legislation that makes texting and driving illegal. Again, this is a bit of a curiosity because in 46 other states, plus the District of Columbia, it is illegal to be sending and receiving text messages while you're operating a motor vehicle. The legislation at issue this week is SB 1080. It doesn't apply to all motorists. It applies only to those motorists with a Class G license, which is, by the way, the first license that teens get, and it's only for the first 6 months that they're on the road. So under this proposed legislation, I should say, because as mm-hmm. you pointed out, it is in jeopardy of being killed, a new driver for the first 6 months would be prohibited by law under this proposal from texting while driving. And that activity would be prohibited like it is in, as I mentioned, the majority of other states. But this legislation is in trouble.
And some jurisdictions here in Arizona.
Right. So throughout Pima County, mm-hmm. it's illegal. Mm-hmm. Tucson has an ordinance that makes it illegal. And Phoenix has an ordinance that makes it illegal. So interestingly, depending on where you are within the state, it's either legal or illegal to text while you're operating a motor vehicle. But in most of the state, if you're looking at it from a pure geographic perspective, it is perfectly legal to text while driving. Now, mm-hmm. what I find troubling and also interesting is that according to a study that I read, texting while driving makes it 23 times more likely that you're going to either be involved in a crash or come so close to a crash as to imperil yourself and the people in your vehicle. So,
all right.
Yep.
Don Luce, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Bill.
Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk, Attorneys at Law. His two books, very popular, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, now in its second printing. Soon we'll need another printing, Don. And Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of my engineer, producer, Tom Fairbanks, have a great afternoon and evening.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Secretary of State Tillerson says work is underway to form an international coalition to get rid of Syrian dictator Bashar Assad. Apparently, this week's deadly chemical weapons attack on civilians in the province of Idlib.